Hello, kids. My name is Sophia, and I am 5 years old. And I have a podcast for you to listen to. It's full of bedtime stories. Hope you like it. Written by Joan Eichen, illustrated by Tony Ross. Our house was furnished mainly from auction sales. When you buy furniture that way, you get a lot of extra things besides the particular piece that you were after, because the stuff is sold in lots. Lot 13, two Persian rugs, a set of golf clubs, a sewing machine, a walnut radio cabinet, and a plinth. It was in this way that I acquired a tin deed box, which came with two coal scuttles and a broom cupboard. The deed box is solid metal, painted black, big as a medium-sized suitcase. When I first brought it home, I put it in my study, planning to use it as a kind of filing cabinet for old typescripts. I'd gone into the kitchen and was arranging the brooms in their new home when I heard a muffled thumping coming from the step. I went back, thinking that bird must have flown in through the window. No bird, but the thumping seemed to be inside the deed box. I had already opened it to see if there were any diamonds or bearer bonds worth thousands of pounds inside. There weren't, but now I opened it again. The key was attached to the handle by a thin chain. There was nothing inside. I shut it. The noise started again. I opened it. Still nothing inside. Well, this was broad daylight, 2 o'clock on Thursday afternoon. People going past in the road outside and a radio school's program chatting away to itself in the next room. It was not a ghostly kind of time, so I put my hand into the empty box and moved it out. Something shrank away from my hand. I heard a faint, scared whimper. It could almost have been my own, but wasn't. Knowing that someone, something else, was afraid to put heart into me. Exploring carefully and gently around the interior of the box, I felt the contour of a small, bony, warm, trembling body with big, awkward feet, silky, dangling ears, and a cold nose that, when I found it, nudged for a moment anxiously but trustingly into the palm of my hand. So I knelt down, put the other hand in the box as well, cupped them under a thin little ribby chest, and lifted out Humble Puppy. Was quite light. I couldn't see him, but I could hear his faint, inquiring whimper, and I could hear his toenails scratching on the floorboards. Just at the moment, the cat, Taffy, came in. Taffy has a lot of character. Every cat has a lot of character, but Taffy is more than most, all of it inconvenient. For instance, although he is very sociable and longs for company, he just despises company in the form of dogs. The mere sound of a dog barking 2 streets away is enough to make his fur stand up like porcupine's quills and his tail swell like a mushroom cloud. Which it did the instant he saw Humble Puppy. Now here's the interesting thing. I could feel and hear Humble Puppy, but couldn't see him. Taffy apparently could see and smell him, but couldn't feel him. We soon discovered this. For Taffy, sinking into a low gladiatorial crouch, letting out all the time a fearsome throaty wailing like a bagpipe revving up its drone, inched his way along to where Humble Puppy huddled, trembling by my left foot, and then dealt him what ought to be a swinging right-handed clip on the ear. "Get out of my house, you filthy little canine scum," was what he plainly intending to convey. But the swipe failed to connect. Instead, it landed on my shin. I've never seen a cat so astonished. It was like watching a kitten meet itself for the first time in a looking glass. Taff ran round to the back of where Humble Puppy was sitting, felt, smelt, poked gingerly with a paw, leaped back nervously, crept forward again. All the time, Humble Puppy just sat, trembling a little, giving out this faint, beseeching sound that meant, "I'm only a poor little mongrel without a smidgen of harmony. Please don't do anything nasty. I don't even know how I came here." It certainly was a puzzle how he could come. I rang the auctioneers after showing Taffy out and Humble Puppy into the study with a bowl of water and a handful of Bonnie Biscuits, Taffy's favorite breakfast food. Auctioneers told me that Lot 12, Deed Box, Cold Scuttles, and Broom Cupboard had come from the Riverland Rectory, where Mr. Smith, the old rector, had lately died, aged 90. Had he ever possessed a dog or a puppy? They couldn't say. They had merely received instructions from a firm of lawyers to sell the furniture. I never did discover how poor little Humble Puppy's ghost got into that deed box. Maybe he was shut in by mistake long ago. Maybe some callous Victorian gardener dropped him, box and all, into a web, and the box was later found. Anyway, and whatever had happened in the past, now that Humble Puppy had come out of his box, he was very ready to be grateful and affectionate. As I sat typing, I'd often hear a patter-patter and feel his small chin fit itself comfortably over my foot, ears dangling. Goodness knows what kind of a mixer he was. Something between a spaniel and a terrier, I guess. In the evening, watching television or sitting by the fire, one would suddenly find his warm weight leaning against one's leg. He didn't put on a lot of weight, but his bony little ribs filled up it. For the first few weeks, we had a lot of trouble with Taffy, who was very surely over the whole business and blamed me bitterly for not getting rid of this low-class intruder. But Humble Puppy was extremely placating, got packed into his D-box whenever the atmosphere began too volcanic, and did his very best not to be a nuisance. By and by, Taffy thawed. As I've said, he is really a very sociable cat. With a quite old 70 cat years, he dearly likes cheerful company and generally has some young cat friend who comes to play with him. In the last few years, we've had Whiskey, the black and white pub cat. He used to sit washing the smell of fish and chips off his fur under the dripping trash in our kitchen sink. Titanus, the hairdresser's thick-set black, who took a fancy to sleeping on top of our china cupboard every night, and used to startle me very much by jumping down heavily onto my shoulder as I made the breakfast coffee. Sweet Charity, a little gray Persian who came to a sad end under the wheels of a police car. And Charity's gray and white stripy cousin Fred, whose owners presently moved from next door to another part of the town. It was soon after Fred's departure that humble puppy arrived. And, from my point of view, he couldn't have been more welcome. Taffy missed Fred badly and expected me to play with him instead. It was sad to see this large, elderly tabby rushing hopefully up and down the stairs after breakfast, or hiding behind the armchair and jumping out onto nobody, or howling at me till I escorted him out into the garden where he brushed to the lavender bush, which had been the traditional hiding place of Whiskey, Titanus, Charity, and Fred in succession. Sorry, kids, this story is too long. Please check part 2 of this story. Thank you, and bye.